From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. What does it take to start over in a new country? Filmmaker Alexandra Shiva explores the obstacles and triumphs of four Syrian families as they rebuild their lives in Baltimore. Her new documentary is titled, This is Home. And Ruben Chandrasekhar, head of the local offices of the International Rescue Committee, describes how the IRC reassures refugees during this transition.
Listen, you've gone through conflict. You've done everything with a great deal of strength in order to survive this journey. And now we need you to be strong, continue to be strong for your children. But we are here to help you. And it's a partnership between the refugees we resettle and our staff.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. A new home, a new language, a new job. Refugees rebuilding their lives in Baltimore face incredible obstacles, from learning the nuances of American culture to coping with homesickness. Along the way, the International Rescue Committee, which resettles refugees in the United States, works to ease the transition. Caseworkers guide displaced people through the bureaucracy of moving to a new country, arranging housing, and helping them find jobs. Today we'll hear about the work of the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, and about This is Home, a documentary that follows newly arrived Syrian refugees in Baltimore. Alexandra Shiva is a documentary filmmaker. She won a Peabody Award for her film How to Dance in Ohio, about a group of autistic teenagers who attend their first spring formal. Her newest film, This is Home, follows four Syrian families as they rebuild their lives in Baltimore with the help of the International Rescue Committee. This is Home can be seen at the Maryland Film Festival on Saturday and Sunday at the Micah Brown Center. Alexandra Shiva joins us on the line from New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And also here is Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee's offices in Baltimore and Silver Spring. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here as well. Thank you.
Alexandra, where did the idea to follow refugee families as they got settled in Baltimore come from?
The idea came from one of our executive producers, Princess Ferial of Jordan, who is very involved with the IRC and in refugee resettlement issues. And she was speaking to someone who said, have you seen the movie How to Dance in Ohio? We need a movie that has a similar tone to this for refugees. And she said, well, I happen to know the director. And that was how the beginning of that conversation started. We spoke extensively with headquarters of the International Rescue Committee, and we all decided that Baltimore was really the most interesting office and place and city that we could locate this film in. And we basically embedded in the office for about a year.
Tell us about the four families.
Well, there is Mohammed, and his wife chose not to be on camera because of concerns for safety of her family in Syria. So we filmed Mohammed and his four children, and we filmed Khaldun and Yasmin and their four children. Then there's another family, Madiha and Mahmoud, and they have four sons. One of the sons is a little older than the others. He's now 15. Two families came from homes. One family was coming from Dara. Then there was a fourth family. They had a very different profile. The mother was a doctor. The daughters were all in school for various forms of engineering, and they were reunited. The mother had come seeking asylum, and the daughters had come later with the assistance of IRC to join her.
There are many moments in the film where the families struggle to find jobs, to navigate the city, to learn English. Was it difficult to document this and not jump in to help them?
It was incredibly difficult. I would often look to the way that IRC had very, very clear boundaries. I would look to them for guidance in terms of how to handle situations like that. But there were situations where, for example, we went with Madiha for her kids to get shots, and we spent an hour on the bus with her, and we got there, and all of a sudden, one of the children's appointments was just canceled, and the next appointment was going to be 2 months later. It was one of the few times where we intervened to try and see if there was just any way that the doctor could still see the other child, or another doctor could see the child, knowing that it was a full hour each way for her to get there.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with documentary filmmaker Alexandra Shiva. Also with us is Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee offices in Baltimore and Silver Spring. We're talking about the new film, This Is Home, which can be seen this weekend at the Maryland Film Festival. It profiles four Syrian families as they resettle in the city. As you were making this film, President Trump announced a ban on travel from some predominantly Muslim countries, including Syria. I want to play a clip of Iman and her daughter, Batul, reacting to the travel ban.
I'm thinking, like, if one day some decision come up and we have to go out, I don't know where to go, actually. I don't know.
For me and my sisters, we are considered as permanent residents. But my mother, she is, her case is pending asylum. She is scared that she might not be accepted here. It's really scary for us.
Since then, the Trump administration has severely restricted the resettlement of Syrian refugees. Just 11 were admitted to the country as of last month. Ruben, take us back to that time. What was your reaction to that news?
You know, I think a lot of us at the International Rescue Committee were very devastated by the news, just because we know the impact that a ban against refugees will have on some of the most vulnerable people on the planet. You know, historically, the U.S. has admitted on average 95,000 refugees a year since 1980, when the refugee program came online. And this year, after the travel ban and after the many administrative moves that have been implemented to reduce the flow of refugees, the U.S. will resettle less than 25,000 refugees in this federal fiscal year. So, you know, as our CEO has said, the administration has a policy that is both malevolent, because it shows a great degree of animus against refugees, but it's also very competent in kind of unraveling the U.S. refugee system and really slowing it down to a crawl, even though the administration has on paper said it would bring in 45,000 refugees this year.
Yeah, that's a little hard to understand, how the official policy can be 45,000 and that's just not happening.
Yes. So every year the president sets a determination, and this year President Trump said that we would bring in 45,000 refugees into the country. And then there are a series of administrative processes that must occur to screen and then ensure that refugees are safe to travel into the U.S. And that vetting process has been well established. Typically taking anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years to screen a single individual before they're allowed to enter the country. And that process has been further stymied by various administrative roadblocks. So on paper, the ceiling is 45,000, but in practice, it because of the slowdown in the processing, it's going to be less than half of that.
There is a point in the film, This Is Home, that makes clear that these families miss Syria. Khaldun, who came to Baltimore with his wife and four children, says with tears in his eyes, "I've fought until the last breath to stay, but I couldn't. It's a good question. Do you miss Syria? It's like asking a child, do you miss your mother?" What a powerful moment, Alexandra.
I mean, that was a very, very intense interview, and it was a very interesting interview because I didn't understand what he was saying, but I understood what he was saying. I mean, I had an interpreter behind me, but I almost didn't need the interpreter to understand, because the emotion is so strong in those moments. for many of these families, my experience has been that, you know, they don't really want to be here. They're here because they don't have a home. And there's an idea that this is sort of the end of the story. They left and now they're here and the story ends. It's actually the beginning of a whole other chapter, another chapter of struggles, a chapter of triumphs. I mean, there are many, many, many things that happen once they arrive.
And your film, This Is Home, also shows the hard work and commitment of the IRC teachers and caseworkers. One caseworker, Sasan, reacts to the news of the travel ban.
I'm originally from Baghdad, Iraq, and I came as a refugee. And I understand that when you're coming from a war zone and you feel like you reached your haven and gonna be safe, and suddenly this place is not haven anymore, and you add to it, soon we'll be there 8 months. So this is where in resettlement, it's like you're not supported and you're like most on your own. So it's too much for them. It's too much to be really handling. And I have no answers, but it's really tough times and hard for people, for all of us.
Ruben, that feeling that you may be letting refugees down because America is not what they thought it would be, how do IRC workers cope with that?
You know, one of the main things that we focus on is on the strength that our clients bring with them. When you look at a parent, you see in the mom and the dad this determination to want to do everything in their power to make sure that their kids can go to school and be successful. And it's this determination that we tap into and say, listen, you've lived through conflict and you've done everything with a great deal of strength in order to survive this journey. And now we need you to be strong, continue to be strong for your children. But we are here to help you. And it's a partnership between the refugees we resettle and our staff.
Alexandra, what do you hope that people who see the documentary will take away from it?
There are tremendously uplifting moments in the documentary. And a lot of those come about when you are in the homes of these subjects or you're witnessing these new relationships they've forged with local friends. You know, there's a wonderful relationship between a woman named Leah Hayes and Madiha, who's in the film, that came through a church. And that relationship, to me, it represents what is possible at a local level and how the International Rescue Committee can only do so much. Then they have to integrate into the community. And so, for example, you know, this wonderful woman, Leah, who's in the film, had her church organize an entire dinner that Madiha, who's a wonderful chef, could cook. She called it the Syrian Cultural Exchange, and Madiha cooked for 130 people, and she was able to make money that way and become excited about starting a catering company and those kinds of local actions that people can take to get involved. You know, there are lots of people who came with skills that they don't get to use.
Well, congratulations on the film. Thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Alexandra Shiva is a documentary filmmaker. Her new film, This Is Home, will be shown at the Maryland Film Festival on Saturday and Sunday at the Micah Brown Center. Ticket information at MarylandFilmFest.com. We'll have links at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee offices in Baltimore and Silver Spring, will stick with us after the break. And when we come back, how are refugees who come to the United States screened? How does the IRC help them find jobs and adjust to new schools? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Last fall, President Trump reduced the annual cap for refugees from anywhere in the world to 45,000, the lowest cap in decades. Refugees who resettle in Baltimore through the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, receive 8 months of assistance as they adjust to life in the United States. During those 8 months, they are expected to begin learning English, obtain jobs, and work towards self-sufficiency. The United Nations Refugee Agency estimates there are more than 65 million displaced people worldwide. Among them are nearly 22.5 million refugees, over half of whom are children. Fewer than 200,000 were resettled in 2016. Of those who were resettled, the United States admitted almost half. With me is Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee's offices in Baltimore and Silver Spring. Ruben, where do most refugees that the IRC resettles come from?
Well, over the last year, with the change in the administration, the profile of the refugees that we resettle has changed dramatically. So in the last year of the Obama administration, the nationalities that we resettled the most were people from Syria, Iraq, Eritrea, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. This year, under the new administration, with the implementation of the travel ban and other policies, we have resettled no Syrians at all. In fact, more Syrians have been killed through the suspected chemical weapons attack on April 7th, approximately 60, than have been admitted into the U.S. over the last 6 months.
Fewer than 60 admitted into the United States over the last 6 months.
That's correct.
The whole United States.
Mm-hmm.
The refugees you resettle, how long have they been waiting for resettlement?
Depending on where people come from, we have had instances of people waiting for 30 years, and some have been resettled after 3 or 4 years. The U.S. has a very well-established vetting procedure, where they, through a combination of interviews and other kinds of information, get to determine whether a refugee has a bona fide fear of persecution and is fleeing a critical condition at home, right? Typically, they're fleeing a civil war or some other atrocity. That vetting process typically takes anywhere from 18 to 24 months before an individual is cleared for resettlement in the U.S.
Who decides that a family will end up in Baltimore?
I think U.S. Immigration law, and that includes the refugee program, prioritizes family reunification. And so if you are a Syrian refugee who has been authorized to now resettle in the U.S., you would indicate that you had a family member in Baltimore, and they would prioritize that individual coming to Baltimore, because we believe that having family and a network of people who want to receive you has a lot to do with how you integrate and succeed in that in the society. Now, if you don't have any family, we may look and see, you know, is there another community that could be welcoming? So, for instance, during the Iraq War, many Iraqis fled to Syria for protection, right, because of the civil conflict in their country. And now, ironically, many Syrians are fleeing to Iraq for protection. So they know each other well and have protected each other. And so we have a strong Iraqi community in Baltimore. And if you didn't have a Syrian relative, you know, we would try to link you with the Iraqi community here, who would culturally and linguistically be able to, you know, interact with this newcomer and welcome them and teach them the ropes.
It's Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the IRC's Baltimore and Silver Spring offices, here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking about how refugees are resettled in the U.S. and in Maryland. Ruben, during the 8 months that families receive resettlement assistance from the International Rescue Committee, what services are offered to them?
Yes, we have a number of services that actually last for up to 5 years. The initial resettlement services are very intense, and they congregate around this 8-month time frame. So we do the basic things that you would think a person would need when they get off the plane, right? We ensure they have a place to live, access to health care when they arrive. We enroll their kids in school, and we teach all the adults and the children the basics of how to get around in Baltimore. So how do you ride the bus? How do you shop at the grocery store? And then very importantly, we pivot very quickly to ensure that the adults know that they have the responsibility to work and be able to pay their basic bills, their basic expenses within 6 months or less. So we have a huge employment team that works with area employers to ensure that people can find jobs and begin the process of rebuilding their life. But after that 8 months, we have a career services department. So in addition to getting folks their first survival job, people can come back to get vocational training and skill themselves up so that they could have both wage and social mobility that way. We have an immigration services program where we can help people a year after they arrive. All refugees have a pathway to citizenship, right? So a year after they arrive, they can apply for their green card and become legal permanent residents and remove that refugee designation from their immigration status. And then 4 years later, we help them to file for U.S. citizenship. And so last year, we assisted over 400 individuals become U.S. citizens.
In addition to the concerns that some people have about the safety of admitting refugees, whether they're sufficiently vetted, people also bring up the cost of providing assistance to these families. How do you respond?
It's interesting. You know, the Trump administration basically commissioned a study within the government to answer this question. And the Department of Health and Human Services produced a report earlier this year that found that over the past decade, refugees brought in $63 billion more in government revenue than they cost.
$63 billion?
More in revenue to the government than they cost. Now, how is that possible? If you look at a city like Baltimore, where the city is trying to rebuild its population and its tax base, the city once had a population of close to 1 million people, and now it's around 700,000. And yet it has an infrastructure built for 1 million with a tax base that can't support that infrastructure. And so successive mayoral administrations have said, we want Baltimore to be a welcoming city to everyone, including immigrants and refugees. Over the last 18 years, the IRC has operated in Baltimore City, and we've resettled over 14,000 refugees, over 70% of whom have lived and worked and paid taxes and bought homes in this city, right? So in addition to being a refugee resettlement agency, the IRC is a local partner in helping Baltimore to rebuild its population and its tax base. And when you have thousands of refugees doing the same across the country, this is the economic impact that they have, right? And it's a positive economic impact. And in fact, over a 25-year period, there was another study that was commissioned by the New American Economy. And in that study, they found that refugees...
The New American Economy is a think tank.
Yes. That refugees' median household income reaches $67,000 a year. That's $14,000 more than the median household income of people who were born in this country over a 25-year period. So there's a lot of evidence, both from within the government and outside of the government, that refugees contribute positively to their new communities.
If people are interested in helping the IRC and refugees in Baltimore, how can they get involved?
Three ways. We are a nonprofit organization, and we accept donations online at the IRC in Baltimore website. A second way would be to pick up the phone or write a letter to your representative in Congress and say that Maryland is a welcoming state and that we, for refugees, and that we want the Trump administration to honor its commitment to resettle at least 45,000 refugees this year. As I've indicated before, we are on pace to resettle less than half of that, given this administration's animus towards this population. And thirdly, volunteer. In fact, we have a mentor program where people could volunteer for a period of up to 6 months, and we would match you one-on-one with a refugee in the community, and you would spend the next 6 months becoming their friend, being a welcoming presence in their life, teaching them English, and just helping them to integrate socially and economically above and beyond what we are doing, right? So if you want to get personally involved in supporting one of our clients, then there's a way to do that as well.
Ruben, thank you.
Thank you.
Ruben Chandrasekhar is Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee's offices in Baltimore and Silver Spring. Earlier, we spoke with filmmaker Alexandra Shiva, who profiled four refugee families from Syria. You can catch her film, This Is Home, at the Maryland Film Festival this Saturday and Sunday. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll link to information about the International Rescue Committee and the documentary. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.